The end of all things is at hand. Oh, those are great words, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the world is poised and ready for the end of all things. And that's what Peter is talking about in this particular text. Like a sprinter is poised in the blocks, ready to start that race, so the world is poised and ready for the end of all things. And I'd like us to look at those words that Peter lays before us. First of all, the fact that Peter speaks about the world being poised for the end. That's point one. And point two follows directly, doesn't it? Peter talks about the world being poised and ready for the end of all things. Those are important words. And then third, Peter speaks about the fact that the world is poised and ready for the end of all things is at hand, Peter says. But I want to challenge you as we go through this particular text. I want to challenge you because, you see, there are two different perspectives we can have on the world. On one side, our heads can be down and we can be slogging, as it were, pushing and slogging through life and asking the question, when will it end? Or we can have a higher perspective given to us by God and victoriously say, the end of all things is at hand. Let's look at this text now and see in greater detail what Peter has to say to us. Our first point again, the world is poised and ready for the end. The end of the world is what Peter is talking about, of course. And our Lord Jesus pointedly and plainly speaks of this end in Matthew 24. Let's go back and look at just a couple of things in Matthew chapter 24, that wonderful text that we just read. In Matthew 24, we see how the disciples of Jesus Christ are interested in what Jesus has to say. In verse 3 it says, "And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" Yes, when will the end come? That's the question. And the disciples wanted to know what the signs were to be. And Jesus, well, he gives them clues, doesn't he? For instance, in verse 6, he says, "And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars." Oh, they're ever present with us, aren't they? "See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end," Jesus says. Wars will come and wars will go, but that's not yet the end. Verse 14, he gives us a more definite clue. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come." Of course, that's the great fact of history, that the gospel must be preached in every nation under heaven, that every tribe and tongue and people and nation on the face of the earth must hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, Jesus says, the end will come. And of course, this end of the world that Jesus is talking about is associated with the second coming of Christ in glory. Again, verse 3 in Matthew 24. "And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" The coming of Jesus Christ ushers in the end of the age and the end of the world. That's what Jesus is telling us. And he gives us clues about that also. Verse 27, for instance, in Matthew 24, he says, "For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be a great and glorious time. Well, you've seen it, haven't you? The lightning flashing across the arch of heaven. It's beautiful, really, and sometimes frightening. But the Bible tells us in the words of Jesus, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Very visible, seen by all, literally. And then verses 29 through 31 tell us of other phenomenal events. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. What a tremendous thing will take place. Christ coming a second time in glory. Phenomenal events transpiring. The skies, the stars falling, the sun losing its light, and the moon also. And Jesus says, all will see him. And they will see him, he says in verse 30. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the great clouds of glory. Oh, that'll be an exciting time. It'll be an exciting time if you're a Christian and you know Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says here in verse 31, he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. The trumpet of the Lord will sound. 1 Thessalonians tells us, doesn't it, that the Lord will descend with a shout and with the archangel of God and with the trumpet of God, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. What a tremendous time this will be. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Yes, it will be a great time for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ and who expectantly wait for him. And of course, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't be such a glorious time, will it? Because those who don't know him will be banished forever from his sight. Depart from me, Jesus will say, you who practice lawlessness. And that tells us one thing for sure. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to repent of sin and to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Today's the day. Because as we shall see in this particular text, it's very clear the end of all things is at hand. It's no time to wait. The gate is narrow and the way is straight. You can't stand just outside the gate and hope when the master comes to begin to close the gate that you'll make a sudden dive and get inside. You can't wait for that. That time will be too late. Today is the day of salvation. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day to place your faith in him and to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I trust you as the one who has paid the sacrifice on Calvary's cross for the penalty for my sins. Today's the day. Don't wait. Oh, friend, don't wait. For the end of all things is at hand. But now, let's not stop where we are. If the world is to end, and it's plain that it will, what is to happen? There's a great promise given to us, a great and glorious promise. Let's look at it back in 1 Peter. Well, we have to turn to 2 Peter to find this great promise. And let's read several verses in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. And look at what we are given here. Peter again speaking says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening and coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will be melted with intense heat?" Yes, this world will pass away, and everything in it. The end will come. But look at verse 13. "But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Here is the great promise of God. The promise which of old was given in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ ever came into this world. A promise of new heavens and a new earth. In Isaiah chapter 65, for instance, it is recorded, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." What a tremendous thing. Yes, the earth will pass away, this earth as we know it, but there will be new heavens and a new earth. And again in Isaiah chapter 66, "The new heavens and the new earth which I make will endure before me, declares the Lord." Aha! The great promise of God that there will be a new earth and new heavens which will endure forever. They will not be destroyed by a judgment to come again. What a glorious promise that is, my friends. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 1, John sees, looking into the future, he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away." Yes, passing away with phenomenal events and great cataclysm and judgment. This earth as we know it will pass away, and it will be replaced with a new earth and new heavens. And my friends, Peter tells us in chapter 4 in verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. It's just there. The world is poised and waiting for this to take place. Well, let's move on. The second point, the end of all things is at hand. Why do you suppose Peter adds those words, "of all things"? Why doesn't he just say, "the end is at hand"? Well, I think he wants to emphasize the fact that everything in the world as we know it will be changed and transformed, brought to an end, and there will be new things brought before us. The end of all things, Peter says, is at hand. And what does he include in this, do you suppose? Well, let's just review some of the things. We, by all means, don't have time to go over all the things that will come to pass. But think about how all things will be brought to an end. For example, in Matthew 22:30, my wife doesn't like this verse, but it's there. In Matthew 22:30, it says, "In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven." Now, how do we reckon with life without marriage and giving in marriage? Well, Jesus tells us that that's one of the things that's going to be changed. There will be no more marrying, and there will be no more fathers who stand before the preacher and before the company of God's congregation to give away their daughter in marriage. That will be done away with. Completely done away with. The end of all things, Peter says, is at hand. And think of something else. How many of you have been to a zoo? Oh, probably most of you at one time or another. And in the zoo, you observe the animals in cages, don't you? And why are they there? To protect the animals from the visitors, I think in most cases. In a lot of cases, that's true. But also to protect the visitors from the animals. And what does God tell us? He says, listen, in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and they shall do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. In the new earth, imagine. Why, I'm sure that many of you can hardly conceive of a wolf grazing with your cattle. But Jesus says that that's the way it will be. The end of all things as we know it is at hand. And how about our personal lives? How they are characterized by mourning and crying and pain and suffering. Why, you hardly can turn on the television these days and watch the evening news without seeing some sort of great trauma and suffering and sorrow. Or all we have to do is walk through the hospital. Or perhaps just remember the last 24 hours in our own homes. Because the misery and the pain is present. But it will come to an end. Listen again to those great words in Revelation 21. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. And there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The end of all things is at hand. And that's part of that which will be wiped away in the new earth. And can we imagine not being bombarded by continual news of murders, demonstrations for gay rights, news of this official or that official lying or cheating or stealing? You know, there are a lot of newsmen that are going to be put out of business. Praise the Lord. Because there will be a time when there will be no news of violence. There will be no news of murders. There will be no news of evil, such as homosexuality or adultery. There will be no TV programs which glorify adultery and violations of the seventh commandment as though that's the way everyone ought to live. It'll all be done away with. The Bible is very clear, isn't it? It says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. They will not be present on the new earth with the new heavens. They will not be there. What a glorious time that will be. And then think of it further, my friends. Disease and death will no longer be present. Can you imagine? No more colds. No more bouts with the flu. No more trips to the pharmacy. No need for the doctor's telephone number. No funerals. No funerals to go to prepare for. No death. Oh, death, where is your victory? That will be the cry. Our physical bodies will be changed into imperishable, immortal bodies. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah. That's what it's going to be like. The end of all things is at hand, my friends. And everything will be changed. Every aspect of life will be different. And it will be glorious. That's what we have to look forward to. And this is what Peter is talking about. Oh, we just get a mere taste of it. When he says the end of all things is at hand. Well, we better tackle those last words, hadn't we? The end of all things is at hand. The world is poised and ready because the end of all things, Peter says, is at hand. Now, these are not real easy words to understand, I think. But the first thing to grasp here is the fact that something dramatic has happened in history. Something very dramatic has happened indeed to bring the end of the age, the end of the world, to our very doorstep. And you know what that is? Christ's coming into the world as a baby, dying on a cross, rising again from the dead and ascending into heaven. And when we experience the might and the power of Jesus Christ, we experience the might and the power of the age to come, the world to come. Well, that's one aspect of it. But there's something else here. You see, as far as the New Testament is concerned, the time period between the first coming of Christ and the second is the last days. The end of all things is at hand because he knew he was living in the last days. And we, 2,000 years later, are able to say exactly the same thing. The end of all things is at hand because we too, like Peter, live in the last days. Now perhaps that seems strange. But it's not strange to God. Because 1,000 years in the sight of God is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. That's the way it is with our God. And so there's a sense in which it's not specifically with reference to time that Peter is speaking here. Because you see, with a 2,000-year time lapse there, he can say the end of all things is at hand just as we can. And so there are other considerations that enter in. Let's look at just a couple of them. For example, the Scriptures tell us, and if you look in your Bibles there at verse 5 in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, it says, they shall give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. What is Jesus ready to do? He is ready to judge the living and the dead. He's ready, my friends. He's ready. He's ready to come again a second time in glory. And so we need to be ready for him. The end of all things is at hand. And what did we speak of in Matthew 24, verse 14, where Jesus says the gospel must be preached to every nation and then the end shall come. The gospel has been preached and the gospel is being preached and men and women are being prepared everywhere for the coming of Jesus Christ. He is right on the doorstep. He's ready to come, and the gospel is being preached in preparation for His coming. The end of all things is at hand. And there's something else. Jesus tells us to be on the alert, to be ready. We don't know the time or the hour in which He will come, do we? And He says, even I don't know that time. Just the Father who is in heaven knows the time. So He says, be on the alert. Be ready. Jesus is ready to come. The world is being prepared for His coming through the preaching of the gospel. And Jesus says to you and to me, be ready. Be on the alert. The end of all things is at hand, you see. The world is poised. And to me, this is the tremendous thing. The world is poised. Ready for Jesus to come again, a second time in glory. What about you? Are you poised and ready? I think that's an important question. You know, a lot of suffering transpired in that first century. If you look in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, in verse 12, it says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. I don't remember how the King James Version reads there, but it's not that much different. Do you know what the fiery ordeal that some Christians went through? It was hanging on a cross and being lit up like a torch. That's what some Christians suffered in that day. Do you think they had troubles like we have troubles? Yes, they did. And those Christians, no doubt many of them, came to Peter as a pastor and they said, Peter, look at what's happening around us. When's it going to end? And Peter turned to them and he said, the end of all things is at hand. Get up. Get up. Out of the sludge and the quagmires and the difficulties of the life that you face, get your eyes off of yourself and get them on Jesus. Because Jesus is ready. He's ready to come again a second time in glory. And the gospel is being preached throughout the world. And Jesus Himself tells you to be ready. Because He's standing right at the door. The end of all things is at hand. Look up. Look up. You know, I think that's one of our biggest difficulties today. We look down instead of looking up. And when we look down, I know it's true with me. When we look down, we see our feet stuck in the mud. But when we look up, we don't see that at all. We see Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And He says to us, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed. The end of all things is at hand. And as God's people, that's the position you ought to take. Because as much as the difficulties of this life may flood us all, we ought to be able to say,
Christ is coming again. I've had the privilege of hearing the gospel, and one day I'm going to be in glory. That's where I'm going to be. And the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. That's a victorious stance. And I want to challenge you this morning to take that stance. For the end of all things is